This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. You can't practice law while serving time in prison, but at San Quentin, there are inmates who represent themselves and offer legal assistance to other inmates. Now, you won't find any of them with law degrees, but what you will find are men who have a passion for fighting for their freedom and the freedom of their fellow inmates. They're the subject of a story today from San Quentin Radio.
San Quentin Radio, bringing you informative educational stories from the inside out.
In order to make something grow, you got to own a little dirt.
You don't tell, you see what goes on.
Because I like to be free. I like to move about the land.
You could hear a pin drop, and all of a sudden, you heard this.
From San Quentin Radio, Greg Eskridge reports on jailhouse lawyers.
I'm Philip Morris, a jailhouse lawyer. I've been litigating criminal and civil law since 1994.
I'm Noel Scott. People consider me to be a jailhouse attorney because I've been filing petitions in the California state courts for over 20 years.
My name is Forrest Jones. I am a jailhouse lawyer, and I have been litigating for the past 24 years.
My name is Rasan Thomas, and I became a jailhouse lawyer because I didn't have a choice.
Those are just a few of the jailhouse lawyers who practice here in San Quentin. Rasan Thomas takes us the rest of the way with his personal experience as a prison litigator.
A state-appointed attorney only takes you so far, and without the money to hire anybody else, it was either forfeit my remaining chances at freedom or learn to fight for myself. I chose to fight for myself.
The state provides you with an attorney for one appeal. If you are denied and want to take the appeal process further, you have to hire an attorney or write a writ, which is a legal document that presents the issues that you are raising and file it on your own.
It's like a shot clock. And as long as you're in motion, this clock stops. But the second you stop moving, the clock starts ticking again. And if you let 1 year run out, that's it.
Under federal law, you have 1 year to figure out how to present claims in federal court and start the process. So Rasan has to spend as much time in the library as he can.
And in that year, you have to learn how to be a lawyer. And you have to do it from a level 4 prison that my first damn near 8 months was on lockdown. So I'm getting maybe 2 or 3 trips to the law library in 8 months. And these trips to the law library are like an hour, hour and a half long.
California law states that inmates are required to have 4 hours a week of access to the law library. However, if the institution goes on lockdown, access to the law library becomes limited to only those who have a 30-day deadline to meet.
So what happens is, to even go to the law library at all, you have to sign up for an appointment. And what you do is you pull out a form, and I would do one every night, every single night. I just harass the law library. And you send the form in through the institutional mail, and you wait for them to send you a ducket back that will allow you to be transported in handcuffs from B yard to A yard, which we share the law library with.
A ducket is a pass that allows an inmate access to a place within the prison at a specific time and date.
Excuse me, can I get some help?
Sure, what do you need?
I need some books. I need the book that has Montgomery versus Louisiana. I also need CalJUR instructions.
Rasan is checking out books inside the law library. But these books cannot be taken back to his cell, so he must get the information he needs within the allotted time there.
What it takes to be a jailhouse lawyer is tenacity and focus. Like me, fell out a law library slip every single day and just keep sitting it in and not give up, no matter how frustrating it is or how difficult it is.
Prison law libraries often don't have up-to-date books. Sometimes pages are missing, someone else may be using the only copy, and there often isn't enough time for Rasan to read about everything he needs to learn.
I realized I had subscriptions to Blackmail Magazine and Smooth Girl, but I didn't have any of my own law books. And I was relying on a law library system that was flawed. So I had to start sacrificing. So I had to not get a package of food or not get magazines and buy this $265 law book.
For Rasan, getting the books was just the first step. He then had to figure out what all these new legal terms meant.
It was intimidating. It felt like, can I do this? But I just kept studying and studying and studying. And the law is like spread out. It's not in one book. You're not going to read one book and understand law, right? You have to learn a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here. And then once you learn this little bit here, you go back over here, and now this makes more sense to you. And it just started coming to me.
His cell became the law library.
And I had all the great books, CB, Appeals and Writs, Criminal Practice and Procedures, Hertz and Lieberman, Federal Practice and Procedures. So I had like all the best law books in my cell, and I had more up-to-date books than the law library had. So it became my life.
It took him about 2 years to get all the books he needed. Then he started putting them to use.
When I filed my first writ, I was insecure. I thought that the more claims that you file, the better your chances. But it actually worsens your chances because it makes the writ big and thick, and that makes work for some clerk somewhere, some judge somewhere, and big, thick writs don't get read. Ultimately, I found failure by doing that, and I found success for others by just filing short, powerful writs to the point with one or two strong claims.
Rahsaan has filed several writs for himself and others. However, he wasn't granted the relief he sought, but the success came in getting the courts to look at the case. His reputation for success spread around the yard, and he was soon sought out by inmates seeking help for themselves.
At first, I didn't want to help people with their legal cases because I didn't want to be responsible for somebody else's freedom.
But in 2005, Rahsaan got a job at the law library.
People would ask me questions. I would give them the book that would show them the answer, and they would come back with the same question. And I realized they don't comprehend. And even though all I had was a high school diploma, all they had was me. And I couldn't just let them fail because nobody should stay in jail because they can't read or write. I had to help them.
San Quentin Yard is usually populated with about 200 prisoners exercising and going about their day. This is normally when Rahsaan, or also known as New York, is approached by those seeking help. One person that came to Rahsaan is Anthony Ammons.
At New York, my name is Anthony Ammons. Been incarcerated since I was 16 years old for a first-degree murder that I committed. I received 102 years to life. Rahsaan has helped me in ways that attorneys didn't want to. I wrote attorneys, over 100 attorneys, letting them know of my case, and they, half of them don't even write back. But he's helped me to get answers from the court. He's helped me to change the way I think about the justice system. You know what I mean? Seeing him fight for me at no cost is a blessing.
Anthony Ammons was one of Rahsaan's first clients here at San Quentin. Rahsaan has gotten a court to look at his claim, and the case is still pending.
When somebody asks me to handle their case, the first thing I try to figure out is it too late? So I ask them what stage they're at. If there's still time, then I ask for all their paperwork. So I want to read everything, the transcripts, everything. Once I identify the strongest issues, I write the writ up by hand. Then I type it out, I give it to them, they file it, and then we pray, waiting for a response.
Rahsaan has gotten a lot of people back in courts, but he hasn't gotten anybody out of jail yet.
I keep fighting because I feel like sooner or later they're going to get the right judge, the right lawyer, the right combination of factors and walk out those doors, but it's bigger than that. Just having something in the courts provides hope.
And that hope represents a chance that something good may happen in their favor, such as an order to show cause.
An order to show cause means that the court is going to take a look at your case. They're going to give you a lawyer. When you get that, you're like, yeah, I got an order to show cause. I got something here. And it gets us through our time easier than just sitting around knowing you're doomed. Being a jailhouse lawyer means you're the guy that everybody's going to come to and talk your ears off. Because everybody's going to come tell you about their case all day, every day. But for the most part, I think we represent hope and it's respect. So you're not allowed to be paid to be a jailhouse lawyer. So they know you're trying to help them from your heart. Whereas a lawyer in the street, it's about the money. Your money run out, your help run out.
Over the years, Rahsaan has become well-versed in the law. He has helped over 30 people, many of which have been brought back to court and appointed lawyers. He continues to fight to overturn his own conviction. It seems to be an uphill battle for him, but yet he vows to never give up.
I feel like there's a hope to it. There's a hope, because when you have a 55-to-life sentence, you're not going home, period. 55-to-life means you're doing 55 years. But as long as you got a writ in somewhere, it gives you some kind of beacon of hope.
From San Quentin Prison Report, I'm Greg Eskridge.